with the Business Bunker.
Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk. The first show of 2017 here on January the 3rd. And you're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and Radio Royalty, the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello. Happy New Year, Paul
Happy
Andrews.
New Year. Yeah. I didn't recognise you.
Is my mic on? Or have you turned it off again?
No, it's on.
Well, I know you have a habit of turning me off just when I'm in my flow.
Well, sit still. Talking
Happy
to
New
the mic.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
A lot of people are still in bed, you know.
Really?
Yeah. Some of the schools aren't back. Some people are still slumped under the Christmas tree.
Oh, I know the schools aren't back.
Some are. Some are.
Really?
Some are
already?
Not. Yes, because...
I thought they broke up really late this year. Some of them were kind of breaking up on the day before Christmas Eve.
Really? I think it's
are at school. They used to break up in September or
I
something.
Know. I think it's some sort of conspiracy. You know, parents have demanded that they're working and please don't give our children time off school. But a lot of people are still slumped under the Christmas tree. So here we are. We're all perky, aren't we, Paul Andrews?
I've been at work for days.
Well, you never really take any time off, do you? Mm. Did you have Christmas?
I did. I had it on my own this year.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you stay in bed and just eat turkey?
No.
Did you go?
You get grease all over the bedsheets, didn't you?
Yeah, but you change your bedsheets all the time. You just get a new pair, don't you?
I do what?
Well, you change them. You go and get a new pair.
Is it a leap year?
No. You've told me you just go and buy a new pair every time.
I'll buy new sheets. Yeah, it's easier than ironing them. Yeah.
Did you trot across to the little silver hotel in your kimono?
I didn't go to the Silver Hotel.
Really?
No, we went to the London Beach, which is next door.
Well, hang on. We?
My mum and dad and I.
Oh, so they
I took my mum and dad to lunch on Christmas Day.
So you weren't on your own at all?
No, we had lunch over there and then they went home.
You just sort of gave them lunch and then you
sent them home.
Back
got
home.
Clear off. Yeah.
Poor Victor. It's not very pleasant.
No, well, there you go.
Could have got them to stay for tea and turkey sandwiches in the evening.
No, they didn't want to. That's fine. No, I had a great time.
On your own.
Yeah, it was fabulous.
Well, I had a very nice Christmas. As you know, I was in South Africa.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
With my new husband.
No, I didn't know that.
We
only saw 9 million tweets about it.
We did work for 4 days in Cape Town.
Did you?
But then we did the garden route, which we crammed into 11 days. Pretty quick to do the garden route. Mm. It was amazing and lovely people, amazing country. Everybody should go. I would like to live there, I've decided.
South Africa?
Yeah, I really would like to live in Cape Town. I absolutely adored it.
Some friends of mine.
You have friends?
No, not really. I was making it up.
Are they acquaintances?
Some people I'd heard of. Yeah. Now, some friends of mine had a holiday home built in Stellenbosch.
Yes.
Yep.
Wine region.
In the wine region on the outskirts of Cape Town.
Mm.
And they had a holiday home built there on a gated community. And they went there on holiday in 2006.
Mm.
And they haven't been back since. No, to the UK. They just stayed there.
Because they loved it.
Yeah.
Well, the Stellenbosch region is absolutely incredible. Mm. And, of course, you know, if you're drinking wine with the sun, you know, shining and you're up on you're surrounded by mountains and wildlife. I saw so much wildlife, Paul Andrews.
I know. I saw your tweets.
Unbelievable. Did you see the lion?
Yeah.
Where the lion was?
I saw you eat your way through most of the wildlife as well.
Oh, well, my new husband did eat a springbok and I wouldn't speak to him for the whole
day. Did they get him on the Malpani worms? That's what I want to know.
I don't think he had any worms. Well, yeah. I'll have to check. But not that I know. Why? What's a Malpani worm?
Have you heard of a witchetty grub?
Yes.
They're the African version of a witchetty grub.
And do you have them fried?
Barbecued.
Okay.
And I had them in Zimbabwe. And basically they said, if you eat a witchetty grub, you get your starter for free. If you eat two, you get the entire meal for free.
Oh, well, there's a challenge for you.
Yeah, so I ate two.
I bet you ate about 10.
No, I ate two.
Were they alive?
No, they were barbecued.
Yeah, I know, but maybe they don't barbecue them for very long. I had the most rare ostrich steak, unbelievable, and I have to say the ostrich steak was gorgeous. If you're a vegan and you're listening, close your ears. We saw them trotting about, these great big ostriches. And, you know, I love animals, but I'm not that mad on ostriches. They're quite aggressive.
Mm.
You don't really want to cuddle an ostrich, so
you
I
don't.
Ate that.
Yeah, they're like vicious turkeys, aren't they?
They are really vicious. And you know what they do? You know how they say about ostriches hiding their head in the sand? You know that they really do that.
Yeah.
So he walked by me.
But they're not hiding. You know that they're not hiding.
Well, I don't know what they're doing. He walked by me, Mr. Ostrich. And as he came up to me, he ducked right down and sort of sloped. I can't do it because it's radio, but you know what I'm doing. Yeah. So he ducked his neck, whole great big neck down, and slunked past that, me. And then
is that a verb, to slunk?
To slunk. And then, well, how do you say it? Slinked past me.
I don't know.
Slunk.
Don't...
Come on, you went to grammar school, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I didn't go to school at all. But
no, you didn't, do you?
Slunked.
Yeah. Interesting one. He slunketh by.
Yeah.
And then once he got out of my vicinity, he raised his neck up again.
Yeah, well, he's probably seen some of your cookery programs and he thought, I could end up in a basting tray here if I'm not careful. I've seen her with a baster.
And we were in, we stayed in a thatch. In fact, if anybody wants my route, I got a really good deal from a local travel agent that I met at business breakfast networking meeting. And I've completely forgotten their Angie, and they're going to kill me. I've forgotten the name of their company, but Angie, and I'm meeting him.
Oh, Angie. Yeah, I know Angie.
You know, Angie. And Ian, I think it was. But
yeah,
I've forgotten the name
that.
Of the company. They have sent me a Christmas card. I'll check it out in a minute. But the actual 11 days with all breakfast, and the breakfast, you saw the picture of the breakfast, they were huge and they were amazing.
Yeah, was, the fact that you ate them about 3 p.m. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't get up early. Was under $2,000, which for two of us, with accommodation, for the 4 or 5 star, I thought was pretty amazing.
South Africa's cheap.
So if anybody wants the route, give me a buzz or
South
tweet
Africa's
me.
Really cheap.
It is. And, of course, the rooibos tea, of which I bought you some.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing, loved it. And the food, didn't have one bad meal at all.
Cool.
But enough of me.
Oh, really? Yeah, we have had enough of you already, and you've only been on 7 minutes.
Who's our sponsor?
Today's show sponsor are the Alternative Board.
Okay.
For North Kent, Simon and the Alternative Board.
Oh, so in what way are they alternative?
Basically, they are a membership-based organisation for company directors. And basically, it's a group that meets to support each other.
Okay.
So it's an alternative board insofar as you have a group of directors that aren't directors of your company, but directors of their own company, but you all support each other and mentor each other and help each other.
Okay. And where are they based?
North Kent.
North Kent. Mm. Big patch?
Yep. I think it actually stretches Maidstone, Sittingbourne, Dartford, Gravesend, so right along the North Kent.
And will they carry on stretching, do you reckon?
I probably will.
Scope
yeah.
to.
Yeah, I probably will.
Well,
yeah.
Big welcome to them, because they're new sponsors, aren't they?
Absolutely. They are sponsors for the first time. So big welcome to the Alternative Board.
And I'm hoping...
Mr. Simon Chapman, by the way, is the
Oh, yeah,
the
Simon, I've noticed him on the Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm hoping, Paul Andrews, that people are going to tweet us.
Yes, we have had 9,872,963,000,000 tweets.
All using the hashtag BBunker, please.
All trying to remember to use the hashtag BBunker. You can... we would like to hear from you, of course, the tweeters out there and the listeners out there.
We would.
And you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways.
And we haven't even mentioned Scoff and Quaff, have we?
Not so far, but I'm sure we will.
Maybe we'll do it after a few songs.
Quite possibly.
Maybe.
If you want to get in touch with us, though, we would love to hear from you. And you could call us on 01233 220035. That's Ashford. 01233 220035, or you can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on the show is to tweet me at VanillaWeb using, as Jules says, the hashtag BeBunker. We have had quite a few tweets, and I am going to read some. I've had quite a long tweet, and I got this as a DM, so I'm going to read this first.
Take a deep breath.
And it's from the Stove Hub.
Oh, I love them.
And they say, right. Good afternoon, Paul. This is Denise from the Stove Hub. I hope you're well and raring to go on today's Business Bunker show. I've done a tweet for a shout-out, but I thought I'd give you a little more info in this DM. The Stove Hub in Rochester are working on a snazzy new showroom, which will have modern insert fires and ovens and oven-top stoves that are proving very popular in homes these days. We've got an open evening on Thursday, the 19th of January at 6:30 p.m., where contemporary Indian bites will be served, cooked fresh on one of our stoves. Now, come back, Jules. It's not for a few days.
I want to get first in the queue.
Along with a glass or two of Prosecco.
Oh.
Just for you.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah, well, can I also have your portion?
We'd love to see you there, and Jules too. But please do let us know, because we'd have to order more fizz if she's coming.
Yes. Sorry, I'm not bantering with you because I'm reading.
No, I know. And you're not, paying attention, are you?
No.
The Business Bunker listeners are hearing about it first, and space is limited. So if you want to join us, please email Jen, J-E-N, at theheatinghub.co.uk to book your space. So that's the opening of the Store Hub in Rochester on Thursday, Thursday the 19th of January at 6:30 p.m. And do email Jen at theheatinghub.co.uk if you'd like to go along and consume some of Jules's Prosecco.
Yeah,
and
share
eat some Indian bites.
Me. Yeah, yeah. I'd love the sound of an Indian bite. Mm. It's Angie and Ian Shipman, my travel agents. And I will, they're not on the Twitter, really, but I will give you more details if anybody wants to know about my route. So that sounds good, yeah.
I just had a tweet from Wiser Wealthier, who says, Vanilla Webb, I was going to get Jules to tell you off for wasting money on bed sheets, but she made it up with free food. It's cheaper. Let me tell you, Carl, it is cheaper. If you go down the factory shop, you can buy a set of king-size bed sheets for under £2. And I'm here to tell you, it costs more than that to wash and iron them.
Exactly. You don't iron your bed sheets, though, do you? I mean, do you iron your tea towels as well? Underwear?
Underwear? I don't wear underwear.
No, you don't, do you?
I just told you I don't even wash it, so I wouldn't iron it, would I? I'd chuck it away.
Well, you only really change your sheets Christmas and Easter, don't you? Maybe your birthday.
Leap years.
August. Yeah. Mm. So we've had a tweet from the FSB, Andrew Knott, Paul Andrews, and he says, if you want to hear more about the FSB, please call Andrew on 07747 114627. That's me squinting. I think that's right. 07747 114627. I do have my glasses. I'm in denial that I need glasses. They're in my handbag.
Martin, when he co-hosted last time, before Christmas, on the last show before Christmas, he bought two pairs of glasses and broke them both.
Really?
There's a pair of them still there.
What did he do with them?
I've no idea, but he broke both his glasses here in this very studio.
He sent me a lovely Christmas photo of him and his family, all wearing hats.
Yeah.
Did you get the same one?
I did.
Oh, I thought it was exclusive.
No. I had a tweet from Pantiles Plumbing.
New, aren't they?
Yeah, I take it that's in Tunbridge Wells, the Pantiles Plumbing. And they say, Vanillaware Business Bunker, we'd love a shout out for Pantiles Plumbing and Heating, please. Well, consider yourselves shouted out. You can follow them on the Twitter, and their Twitter handle is Pantiles Plum, P-L-U-M-B, Pantiles Plum. Do give them a follow on the Twitter.
Certainly the kind of time of year when you need a plumber, I would think. And they're in such demand, aren't they, plumbers? You can never get one when you want one, when your pipes are leaking.
Oh, when you've got leaky pipes, you're in dead trouble.
I know. Denise Wilton is popping up on the Twitter.
Hello, Denise.
Yeah. She's saying, gorgeous. Oh, I do like to be beside the seaside. That can't be the pre-show picture I did. That must be my doggy walk this morning.
Quite possibly.
Did you see I made leaking potato soup this morning about 8 o'clock?
I saw that. Yeah. I did retweet it a few times as well.
My hair does smell of leeks now.
Yeah.
It's not very nice.
Yeah. Whatever.
Morning, Denise, anyway, if you're listening.
Sure it's the afternoon.
Oh, is it already? Yeah. God, I've only been up.
It's 1:15.
You know how you get in. I don't know if you guests are like this. We haven't introduced the guest, really, have you? You don't like doing it early on, do you?
What?
Shall we?
What did she say to me out there when I was trying to tell you the format of the show? She went, I've been doing this 9 years. You think I'd know the format by now.
We always argue about this.
And she doesn't know the format. We never introduce a guest until it's their turn to speak. Never, ever,
Paul
in nine
Andrews,
years.
I don't agree with your way of not introducing. I think it's rude.
I don't
Very
care.
Rude. I love our guests. And I'm going to introduce them. So we've got.
But you don't know their names.
On my left, we've got Maureen.
Oh, she's written it down.
Maureen Dickey.
Oh, look.
She is a coach.
No, Maureen couldn't come. She's not here.
And she's going to tell us all about TEDx speaking. She's going to tell you, listener, all about that. Her website is MaureenDickey, DICKIE.com. And then, of course, we have the lovely Daniel Eales, him of the Chameleons. And he's going to be talking about his skyraiders.co.uk with Peter Gibbon, I do believe. Mm-hmm. And so they're all here. But what I was going to say to my guests and our guests, who Paul doesn't want to introduce yet until later on in the show, is, you know how in Christmas, and your mic's on so you can answer, how at Christmas you get into this sort of later schedule, I don't know if you do, but of like staying up later watching a film, and because you're not having to get up early in the morning. I got later and later and later.
I got told off on Twitter for being so late to say good morning every morning. I do this alliteration thing every morning. Yeah.
Yeah.
And people said, it's 9 o'clock.
Morning Twitterati.
Yeah. 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 They went, it's 9 o'clock. You've normally done this by seven. Yeah. What are you doing?
You were still in your kimono,
didn't I?
Yeah. I know. But you could. And I wonder, you see, because Body Clock, my dog, Cassie.
That's a strange name for a dog, Body Clock.
My dog, Cassie.
Her dog, Body Clock.
Seems to, she, you know, in the winter, she starts curling up in a basket around 8, 9 o'clock. Obviously, in summer, when the sun's up, she'll stay up a bit later. But my body clock doesn't want to do that. I think I must be an owl because I want to stay up more. And what do you think about Christmas and staying up later? Do you get in a different rhythm?
Oh, definitely, yes, yes. I stay in bed longer and longer and longer.
You see?
We all do, I think.
What about you, Dan?
You don't work with animals, do you?
Mm. Oh, well, your chameleon gets you up.
Not just the chameleon.
The birds.
The birds.
The birds, yeah.
I don't mind being woken up by a bird.
No, well, you do, don't you? Occasionally. But then you'd have to change your sheets, wouldn't you, if you had a bird round?
I'm not getting involved.
No.
I'm really not getting involved. Right, I need to start reading some of these tweets, then we need to crack on. We've had a tweet. We've got loads of new listeners today.
Nude?
Yeah.
New ones. Okay.
New ones. Twice as nice catering. Happy New Year, Vanilla Whip. And the Business Bunker. It would be great to have a shout-out. For Twice as Nice Catering. Thank you. Twice as Nice Catering. Catering in Kent is their Twitter handle. Do give them a follow. Twice as Nice Catering. And we've had Chris Hyde on. Chris says, Happy New Year. I hope you had a fabulous Christmas. And I'm really pleased, Chris, that your daughter was home for Christmas. We're really made up for you with that. And Happy New Year to you. And he says, Business Bunker, I've got a new web address. It's artandscienceofchange.com. And he's called it that because nobody could spell Chameleogenics, which is the name of his company. Well, and it's also his Twitter handle.
Yeah.
So he's changed his website address to artandscienceofchange.com. So do check it.
I see what he's done there, though, with the change bit, chameleon.
Yeah.
So it's the second time we've mentioned chameleon in this show.
I know.
Is that first?
Is this chameleon-orientated?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And also another new listener, Abby Scarden. Vanilla Web Business Bunker. It's our very first kettle size combat MX class tomorrow morning at Ringwood Village Hall at 10:30 a.m. Find out about it on the website, which is thefitnessmix.co.uk, and that's also their Twitter handle, The Fitness Mix. So do give them a follow. We've got loads of new listeners all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, new
started
year,
off
new
at 2017 with a new listener.
Exactly.
Right. I'm going to play a bit of tunage now.
What you got?
It's a bit of cheesy tunage.
Well, there's a change.
Yeah, yeah. It's very tenuous link, this.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's not in the song title. It's in the group name.
See, is it to a chameleon?
No.
You could have played Boy George.
I could have played George, but he's on later anyway. So,
okay.
But what do you reckon?
I've been growing down. I got just a loose of my mind. I got seven women on my mind.
Yeah, it's the Eagles.
For the one.
Well, I'm running down the road trying to loosen my load. I got seven women on my mind. Four that want to own me, two that want to stone me, one says she's a friend of mine. Take it easy, take it easy. Don't let the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. RiftAccounting.com.
JobsInKent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, JobsInKent.com.
Do you need suppliers you can trust for your Kent business? Get a quote today at supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio and Channel Radio on this January the 3rd, 2017, with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly famous Jill Serkin.
BBC darling.
BBC darling. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
I had to smile when I spoke all the
time.
Did
you? Yes. Did you have to speak like that?
I had to smile. Did you speak like that? Once I said little.
Little?
And I got told off.
And you went, but I'm from Essex, darling.
Yeah, I'm an Essex girl, darling.
And they went, not on the BBC.
No,
it's not allowed.
Little.
I did listen to your show, and very good it was too.
Oh, darling, that's very sweet of you. Gosh, no ridicule or rebuffing. I'm not used to that.
Oh, you wait. I'm just feeling mellow at the moment, that's why.
That's because you're still in your kimono.
Yeah,
your
pyjamas. You got my gym jams on.
Yeah. It was, what I loved, of course, rather than the studio stuff, which was exciting, I loved going out on the road. And I, as you know, I talked to a lot of my favourite Kentish suppliers and went to greengrocers in Faversham, and we went to the Mad Cat Brewery with Peter Meaney.
Yep.
I sampled rather a lot of ale.
I know.
It was freezing, but we had
good
fun. We were in a warehouse at Brogdale. But yeah, it was fun. And then I was supposed to do the Christmas lunch in my house, but I had the builders in, as you may have heard. Mm. So we decamped to the Empire Rooms in Ramsgate. You've got to come. Well, our next Slope Off Friday is the 3rd of February, because we're having January off.
Right.
And we've done enough sloping.
Yeah.
Because, as you know, we were at the Faversham Creek Hotel.
The fact that you call this a lunch. Now, I've got to tell you, they had a lunch, okay, at the Red Sails Hotel in Faversham.
Yeah.
Which started at midday.
No, it starts at 2 p.m. It's at a slope off.
Yeah.
So you work in the morning.
And at 2 a.m., I'm still getting tweets from her. And there's still five of them having lunch at 2 a.m.
Well, we'd moved on to the cheese and the Kentish cheeses and the port.
You sent Alan for a bottle of port and a Kentish cheese board to finish lunch at 2 a.m.
I know, it's such fun. So that's why we're having January off, listener.
to dry out.
But February the 3rd, we're all at the Empire Room because we loved it so much.
Did you?
We loved it so much, yeah.
And where is the Empire Room exactly?
It's in Ramsgate. It's at the Royal Harbour Hotel, opposite the twinkling, gorgeous harbour of Ramsgate. And do you know, I'd never been to Ramsgate. I love it.
Had you not been there?
No, not really. You've never really taken me there, have you?
No.
Well, we should go.
Right.
But what else I discovered in Christmas, I was a bit bored one day of Whitstable and, you know, it was busy.
Pubs were shut.
Park and, yeah. I went down to Margate with my new husband.
I saw the pictures.
We took Shay and Mimi. We went down. I said, we'll go to Margate. And we found that pie place.
Yeah.
The Ministry of Pies. Incredible pies. Oh. So March, Slope Off is going to be eating pies. But we're only allowed 16 people. It's a small.
I thought you were going to say you're only allowed 16 pies each.
Well, that could be done, perhaps. So,
I've had a tweet from Caroline Mumford.
Ah.
She says, can't really listen in because we're busy serving lunch at the Umbrella Cafe. Please can we have a shout out for the Umbrella Cafe? So you can follow them on the Twitter, Umbrella_Cafe, or you can follow Caroline, which is Caroline Mum 4 without the D and a 1 at the end. Mum 4, 1. So do give them a follow.
It's a nice little cafe, that. Yeah. Nice and central in the high street.
I'm going to change the format a little bit now.
Again?
Yeah. And I'm going to do this because we're going to talk to our first guest any minute now.
Maureen.
Which is Maureen.
Yep.
So I'm just going to play the opening bars of this. You'll know it straight away, but you won't be able to get the link. But have a listen.
Oh, yeah. One banana, two banana, three banana, four. Oh. Is it the Wombles? Is it the Wombles?
No.
It's somebody.
It's the Dickies.
Is it?
It's the Dickies.
That
it's an
so
absolute pleasure to welcome here onto the Business Bunker show Maureen Dickey, who
Hello.
Has absolutely nothing to do with the banana splits.
No, but they bring back some very happy memories of watching the banana splits.
Do you remember?
My brother. Yeah,
yeah,
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing the splits at the same time, no doubt.
No, I never managed to do the splits, but I enjoyed watching the banana splits.
But nobody ever would have got that. That was the Dickies
that's
version
the
of the Banana Split song.
First time in 8 years, I haven't guessed your.
No one would have
tunage.
Got that. But that's why I did it, because I thought, you know, that's got to be cracking now.
That's
hasn't
taken
it?
Me right back in time.
Yeah.
Is it you, Maureen?
Yeah. No, very nice memories.
So, for all of that cheesy tunage, sorry about that. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome for the very first time onto the Business Bunker show the lovely Maureen Dickey.
Thank you.
Maureen, welcome to the show. Why don't you start off by telling the listener a bit about you and a bit about what you do, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah. Yes, well, thank you for having me, Paul. I'm Maureen Dickey. And what I do, I work for people who are sensitive and ambitious, and they have the feeling, a very strong feeling, that they want to contribute something meaningful to the world, but they don't know what. They can't put their finger on what.
Okay.
And I help them uncover what that what is. And they are sensitive in the sense that they are very sensitive to their environment. They're sensitive to the consequences of their actions. They're sensitive to the consequences of other people's actions. Mm. And they're very ambitious in that they do feel driven to contribute something meaningful.
Mm.
They're not necessarily competitive, but very ambitious in that they do want to do something that they feel is worth doing.
Absolutely. It's funny you should say that. It's not funny, but you know what I mean. It's funny you should say that, though, because we did a show yesterday called the Business Gossip Show.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we were talking about was exactly that kind of issue.
Right.
What used to be called back in the day values-based leadership.
Right.
And we were talking about people looking for values in what they were doing
yeah.
and looking for contribution in what they're doing. So yeah. I really do get what you're saying about more and more people looking to contribute what they do in more meaningful ways,
yeah.
or probably a better way of putting it is to understand how what they do contributes in some respects.
Yes, I remember certainly when I was younger, if people said phrases to me like "know thyself," "follow your heart," "love yourself," all these sort of cheesy phrases, I didn't understand them. I understood the vocabulary, but I honestly didn't understand what those phrases really meant. It was as though it was almost a deliberate effort to wind me up.
But you're absolutely right. And back in the day, there was lots of talk like that. And one of the big things during the 80s, I seem to remember, that went really big was Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs and the need to self-actualize.
Mm.
And loads of people walked around talking about it. I don't think anybody had a clue what it actually meant.
Yeah.
But everybody would go, oh, I'm going to be self-actualized. And we went, wow, yeah. A bit hippie-ish, really. But lots of people talked about it, but didn't really get it.
Yeah. But what I've found over the years, because in me, the what led me to doing this work was an increasing frustration in myself. I had a very strong feeling. When I was at work, I had the feeling I'm meant to be doing something more than this, but what? And that circling thought wouldn't go. It gripped me. And so I did various trainings and courses to try and get to the bottom of what it was that I was meant to be doing. And the ironic thing was, all through that time, I was very good at helping other people figure out what they were here to do. And at that time, it frustrated me because I thought, well, I can help other people, but I can't help myself. But in due course, as I did these other trainings and so forth, the penny finally dropped. That is what I'm here to do. I am meant to help other people. And in due course, after doing these trainings, I did start to understand myself. I did start to get it. It came into place. And now I help other people in a way that it comes into place for them. Mm. So at the end of us working together, they do feel that they do know themselves. So they feel they have real clarity on what it is they contribute and why they contribute, what it is that is just naturally flowing from them, what it is that they can't actually help do. And
now, I'm fascinated by this, and we're going to... We're going to explore this in a little bit more depth. I'm going to cough first. I have a particular set of beliefs about how the world is and in the world of work and business. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that kind of frustrated me is that people would quite often talk about finding a sense of purpose, uncovering something you love. Yeah. And in my life, I discovered something completely different, which was... If you just sit there and wait for something that you enjoy to do or love or whatever to come along, it very rarely doesn't. What I found was the more you did things, the more you came to love what you did. And the more that you explored things, the more you found to do.
Yes.
But we're heading in the same direction.
Yeah. I think, as you say, it's that willingness to explore and uncover what it is that makes you feel really well.
Yeah.
And be willing to turn away from that which makes you feel unwell.
And I think that's really critical, because I think quite a few people sit there and wait for it to dawn on them. You know, so they sit, a lot of people, especially young people, and we do a lot of work talking to young people, and there's been a lot of this, you know, do what you love, enjoy your work, and it won't be work, and all that kind of thing. So they sit there and go, okay, I don't know. I don't know what I love, so I'm just going to wait here until it kind of dawns on me.
Yeah,
but I don't think that's ever going to work for anybody. I think you've got to work your way towards it.
I think when people are in that empty space that you describe, where they're just waiting, I think then there's perhaps what's a good idea is a willingness to take oneself to what I think of as like a buffet table.
Right.
And you just take yourself into different scenarios, different situations, and just try. And just keep tasting different experiences, and then you start to uncover what it is that makes you feel really good. And when the difficulties arise is when maybe someone would take themselves to the buffet table, for example, and they taste olives, and they don't like olives, but they keep eating olives because someone tells them that that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Someone else tells them that that's where the security is, that's where the work is.
Sure.
And they keep doing something that actually they don't like, but they do it because someone has persuaded them that it's what they should do.
Sure.
That's when the problems can start. But if people are willing to keep tasting, keep trying, it's never long before you find something that's right.
I think that's absolutely critical, and I totally get what you're saying, and I totally agree with that, is that it's not just about giving up what doesn't work. It's about being willing to... it's being prepared to give it up, obviously, but it's about being prepared to experiment with different things to find out what does work.
Yeah, and also quite often it's being open to understand that the thing that we're often wonderful at is what comes most easy to us. And so consequently, people often overlook it.
Mm.
They think they don't even see it because it flows so naturally from them. Mm. They don't see that as something special. Mm. They think that's common sense. They think everyone could do it, but they're choosing not to.
Yeah.
And they don't realise, well, no, everyone can't do this. Mm. This is something that's special to me. Mm. It flows naturally from me, and it is what I am here to do. People can't find it because it is so close to them.
It's absolutely obvious, isn't it? And or not obvious, depending on which way you look at it. insofar as you're absolutely right. We've all got croaky throats today. I don't know why.
Not enough mince pies.
Is that what you reckon? I totally get what you're saying, and I know people that do have talents, and you think, wow, that's just a natural talent that they have, and they will go, is it a talent? I don't think it's a talent. I'm not even sure how I do it, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's the crucial thing, isn't it? That they don't recognise it in themselves.
Yes.
Or even if they do recognise it, they dismiss it as something irrelevant.
They overlook it. And as you say, they don't see it as something, because it comes easy to them, they think, well, this can't be it. Mm. People are often caught in thinking that work should be something that we struggle with. Mm. That's quite an old idea, but it does remain with many people, because that's a philosophy that a lot of us absorbed as we grew up.
Yeah.
We saw our parents grit their teeth and struggle with work. Mm. So we absorbed that as an example. Whether we like it or not, we've absorbed it. And so it's quite difficult for most people to feel that healthy work is easy.
If you don't mind, and I don't want you to give away any of your trade secrets here.
No, I'm happy to share anything.
Cool. I kind of like to explore, if we may, the kind of processes that you go through when you start to work with someone to help them uncover their purpose.
Yeah. I ask questions. Mm. It's very conversational, but I ask people questions, and depending on their answer, I ask another question. Mm. And each answer, it's as though that person is giving me a thread.
Right.
And I hold the threads for them. Mm. And at the end of the process, which lasts, we speak generally for 3 to 4 hours, right, and that there'll be individual hour sessions with some weeks in between. So I hold the threads for people, and at the end of 3 hours or so, what I've got is like a unique tapestry for that person. Mm. Only they can give me the answers that they give. Each answer is unique to that person.
Right.
And so at the end of 3 hours or so, which is generally how long I find it takes, I can bring my insights to what's there, the common thread, so to speak. Mm. And other people, the client will often have their own insights because they hear the words come out of their own mouth.
Sure.
Sorry
to interrupt you, but it's interesting. Do you see, when you're talking to people, do you see the light come on in their eyes when they're telling you? They suddenly go, hold on a minute, I think I've worked this out myself now.
Well, sometimes, but sometimes people still can't see the wood for the trees.
Okay.
I spoke to a lovely lady quite recently, and for me it was just lifting off the page what she's here to do. It was crystal clear. And when I spoke to her for our final conversation, she said to me, well, this has been wonderful. I've made enormous progress. I've loved working with you. She'd gone from feeling really quite unwell to feeling extremely well. And then she said to me, but I can't really see that we've come to anything. And I didn't say this to her, but I thought, you're kidding. It was so crystal clear to me. Mm. And when I shared with her what I saw as a common thread, the insight that I had, she saw it too.
Right.
And it was a wonderful moment when she got that clarity that she was longing for, but she hadn't seen it coming herself at all.
Do you ever experience people when you uncover the obvious for them who are then disappointed that it isn't something more earth-shattering, as it were?
No, I think what I find is people actually feel relief.
Okay.
It's a wonderful sense of relief.
I suppose because it is obvious, then once you highlight it to people, it's kind of, you're right, it is obvious. Because I think what you started by saying really is that most people know anyway, they just dismiss it as not being relevant.
Yes, or I think it's as though humanity, we've, to speak on a more sort of philosophical plane, it's as though humanity has got to the point where we can ask these questions of ourselves, but we haven't got to the point where we can answer it ourselves. We need someone else to help us get the answers. And sometimes it's easy for the other person to see, and sometimes it isn't. And my personal philosophy is that our purpose in life is very broad and pure, and then it manifests as something.
Right.
You know, it's not like anyone is meant to be a baker, for example. Sure. It's not their purpose in life to be a baker. Mm. To be a baker would be a manifestation of that person's purpose.
Yeah.
And I think Jamie Oliver is a wonderful example of someone who has that general, broad, pure purpose around nutrition, But it manifests in many different ways. Right. He might be a cook, he might be a presenter, yeah. he might be an author, yeah. he might be an activist, he might be someone who engages on an employer level mm-hmm. with people who have had a difficult start in their education. So it manifests in many different ways.
Right.
So sometimes people need some help either seeing the broad, pure picture. Some people need help seeing how they want it to manifest at the moment, how they feel inspired at the moment. And that changes, you know, as we mature. That manifestation will change, as you can see with Jamie Oliver. You know, he's
got children now as well, so his whole vision is very different. He's now thinking about kids' nutrition.
Yeah.
Sugar.
Precisely. Yeah, I agree. As we mature, other things become important to us. But we never outgrow our purpose, I don't feel. It's kind of, it always was there. It's with us. It always will be there. But it does twist and turn, depending on what fascinates us at the time.
I think you hit the nail on the head there as well. Because a lot of people, when they think about purpose or goals in life or whatever, because of the way that we've been through the 20th century, and it is a 20th century phenomenon, no more, no less, is we tend to think in terms of jobs. But of course, it isn't about a job, because jobs are transient. Steam train drivers don't really exist any longer in the way that they used to, you know. So if your purpose in life was to drive steam trains, you're going to be very disappointed for the rest of your life, kind of thing.
You mean the days of Casey Jones?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, so it's not about specific jobs. It's about a higher thing than that, that you interpret.
Yeah.
Many years ago, I used to do training courses in terms of defining your career goals. And one of the things we looked at was some stuff produced by a chap called Richard Nelson Bowles, who wrote a book, and I think he's in his 90s, and I think he's still writing. He writes a book every year called What Color Is Your Parachute? And in there, he identified three clusters of traits that human beings possess, one of which is what motivates you. And of course, the thing is, you can translate those clusters of things to almost any job. Yeah, so it isn't the job you do, it's how you do it and what skills you bring to that job. And that, I think that's what you're identifying here with people like Jamie Oliver, that you can manifest it in any number of ways.
Yes.
But the driving point of it is always the same.
Yes, and then it's more, I think once we do get a sense of what's really coming from our hearts, so to speak, you're then looking at inspiration rather than motivation, which I think tends to come from one's head. So if we're moving from a place of inspiration, that's easier. We can't help ourselves. It will just come through us whether we like it or not. We find ourselves, given the opportunity, we feel the passion rising in our heart. We can't help ourselves. So it's there's a subtle difference there from motivation, which is more from the head. I feel if we're working from our sense of purpose, we work from inspiration, which is from the heart, which is less tiring, and it's also something that we just can't help do. It brings about more of a sense of peace.
Now, I want to ask you, you've been doing in the past some TEDx talks.
Yes, I've done one.
You tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Just start off, in case any of the listeners don't know what a TEDx talk is, just give them a little overview of that.
A TED talk comes out of Colorado, I believe, and that's where global thought leaders will do their thing and talk about something really.
And TED stands for Technology, Entertainment and Digital or something?
Design, I think.
Design, something like that,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, but it's evolved from there now. Yeah. And so that's TED, but TEDx is a license that's available anywhere else in the world. And there was a TEDx event last year at the Gulbenkian.
Which is in Canterbury.
Yes, thank you. And I applied and was very fortunate in that I got accepted, which was lovely. And it was interesting how that came about, because thinking back to what I mentioned earlier on about taking oneself to enables us to feel well, I actually ended up doing the TEDx talk because I contacted the person who was organising it to help support the speakers. I wanted to help coach the university students who might be doing a TEDx talk, thinking that it was just for the university students. But when I realised it wasn't just for the university students, I asked myself, well, am I actually offering to support something that I'd quite like to do myself? Because there is this phenomena where people often get very close to something. They don't quite do it, but they get very, very close. They might support someone else doing something that they actually want to do themselves. So I asked that question of myself, that once I realised that anyone could apply, not just the university students, I thought, well, is this something that I want to do myself? And I thought, well, I think it is. So I applied and had an interview and then got the opportunity to speak. Right. So it all came about because I was going close to something that made me feel well,
sure,
which was coaching other people.
Right.
Yeah, so that was a nice example of how one thing can lead to another.
Cool. Just technically, mm-hmm, how long did you get to speak? Was there loads of other speakers? Yeah. What was the audience like?
I think there were about 8 people speaking on the day. Hmm. The audience are lovely because they've chosen to be there. They've bought tickets to be there, so that's lovely. There's a maximum of 100 people in the audience, so it's not a huge audience, but it's in the Gulbenkian, which is
quite intimate, isn't it?
A very, very nice venue. Yeah, it's a lovely place to speak. You can speak for up to 18 minutes, but my talk was 12.
Right.
That's because I knew that I had the tendency to overrun, so I thought, well, if I keep it shorter, I'll be okay. But I was so nervous on the day, there was no way I was going to overrun. Yes. Yeah, I wasn't expecting to be as nervous as I was.
Okay.
But
sometimes nerves are good, aren't they, Maureen?
Yes, that's true. But honestly, my nerves went through the roof that day. I'd never experienced anything like it.
But hold on. She told us she was nervous about coming on the radio, and we haven't experienced that at all, have we? So I think she's a bit of a fibber with things like that.
Have you noticed how often I'm sipping water?
Tell us how nervous you were and how that showed.
Well, if you watch my TEDx talk carefully, you'll see me biting the side of my mouth.
Okay, so that's
and
pretty,
that because
pretty...
my mouth was really, really dry. I was extremely nervous, very, very nervous. But luckily for me, I think when I get very nervous, when I speak publicly, I tend to speak very slowly. Some people, when they get nervous, they speak very quickly.
Yeah.
For me, I slow down. So that's just good luck. So it doesn't show too much. But now I've said, if you have a look, you'll see me bite my mouth.
You
will see me bite my mouth because it was just, there was no. You see, again, when one speaks publicly, the idea is that when you finish, you stand and receive the response from the audience. It's quite impolite to just turn away. If people are applauding you, it's polite to receive
that
acknowledgement.
Did they all rush up with gum shields for you?
No. It was like, I didn't stand and receive the response. I was off. I was just, I completely forgot that. I was just off. I was so relieved that it was over. But it was a lovely, lovely experience, I have to say. It was very, very
exciting.
You'll
do it again and again now?
No, I don't know that I will, actually.
Really?
For you, it
was that traumatic?
I wouldn't say it was traumatic, but it was. I wouldn't do it again and again because it's the sort of thing where it's nice to let other people have an opportunity because it's very popular. A lot of people apply to do a TEDx talk. And also it's nice to feel that one has something significant to say. And when I gave my talk, it was just last year, so... maybe in a few years' time I'll have something else that I feel I especially want to say and I'll apply again. But I've kind of got it off my chest now.
Right, okay.
And her lips have recovered.
The Bonjela's all gone.
It's interesting, isn't it, how there's loads of data to suggest that quite a few people seem to think that public speaking is worse than dying and stuff like that in quite a few polls that you see. And it never ceases to amaze me here on the radio show how we get people that come along that will sit in the green room and talk their head off, and then you switch the mic on.
Rabbit in the headlight.
Yeah, and they freeze and go silent.
But then once they've done it, they want to come on the
show. And then they want to do it all over again loads and loads of times.
Nice,
yeah,
isn't it? Yeah. Well, I do coach public speaking, but that doesn't mean that I'm above feeling nervous myself.
Yeah. There should always be a frisson in there, otherwise it becomes too complacent.
A little bit of butterflies.
Yeah. It's just nice to help other people blossom.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a lovely thing to do.
Maureen, fascinating subject. We could talk about it forever. Sadly, we're running out of time. Tell us, if people want to find out more about you and what you do, how can they do that?
That would be lovely. If people are curious, they can email me at maureen@maureendickey.com.
Cool.
Thank you.
You've also got a website, which is maureendickey.com.
Yes.
There is a link to the website on the Kempis Radio website. So if you want to find it, just click the link on the homepage or on today's show, which is show number 307, and it will be there forever. So if you want to come back to it at any point, there is a link to Maureen's website on there, and do click on it and find out more about Maureen. But for the moment, Maureen, thank you so much for that fascinating insight into discovering your purpose.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Pleasure.
Very interesting.
So, Julesy.
Yes, Paulie, we've had a tweet from Cascade Insurance, the lovely Julie.
Oh, hello, Julie.
And she says she would love a shout-out today on...
shout-out for Cascade.
On my show, she said. Sure, she said my show.
Did she?
B-Bunker. She's enjoying listening in.
Cool.
I think she's at work. She's not listening in bed eating mince pies like you do.
All right.
So hello to you. And Supply My Business, the lovely Martin, says he's on dry January, so he's not drinking.
Me too.
Well, you're always dry, aren't you?
I know.
But I don't, personally, I don't think that's a good idea in January. I think we need a little glass of red wine to keep us going. Wiser, wealthier.
Somebody tried to challenge me the other day.
To have a drink?
No, to not drink in January. They said, we want to do a Business Bunker challenge. If I don't drink, will you promise not to drink either? I went, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm teetotal. I never drink. Okay.
Was it banning water then?
Yeah. I said, I'll take that challenge any day you like. And she went, why stick to a month?
I think cutting out caffeine is a good one, actually. I was listening to you. You have a really lovely speaking voice, Maureen, and you're very easy to listen to and very calm. And I think what I've tried to do is cut out caffeine and sugar. But I certainly wouldn't cut out wine.
Do you want me to read it? I want you to read an email, but I'm going to read a couple of tweets just while you gird your loins ready to do
it.
Okay,
I'm girding.
Yeah. I've had a tweet from Petit Canapé, the lovely Joanna.
The way you say it, is that again?
Petit Canapé.
It's so French.
Hello. The lovely Joanna, who delivered me a gorgeous Christmas card, and I thank you so much for that. And she says, Business Bunker, Vanilla Web, and all the listeners, wishing you a very successful 2017. Don't forget to celebrate your achievements with canapés and champagne.
Sounds
absolutely
fabulous.
So do give Joanna a follow. It's Petit Canapés. It's her Twitter handle. FMRC have tweeted, and their Twitter handle is FMRC_inquiry. And they say, Vanilla Web, a shout-out, please, on the Business Bunker show. We have a free newsletter which includes top tips and legal updates and fraud alerts. And you can get that delivered as a DM, if you want, on your Twitter or as an email. So if you follow FMRC_inquiry. And we've also had, we've had half a dozen tweets, but there's one I said I'd read out. And that's from Carl at Wiser Wealthier. And he says, forget your New Year's resolutions. I'm going to make you take action in 2017 by giving you free stuff. To find out what that free stuff is, and to help you managing your finances, you need to talk to Wiser Wealthier. And that is indeed Carl's Twitter handle, Wiser Wealthier. So do give him a follow.
He sounds like an interesting chap.
Carl?
Yeah. I don't think I've met him, have I?
Has he been on Bunker? He's been on the Bunker, but he used to work in sales and marketing for ITL, manufacturing company in Ashford.
Yeah.
So he has been here. But a couple of years ago. Yes.
Have you seen Andrea Barker, Andrea BC coach? She said, Jules Serkin, Vanilla Web, loved Slope Off Friday. So she's listening in, obviously.
I saw you there, Andrea. Don't you worry, being a reprobate with the rest of them. Don't you let them drag them down to their level.
And she says, please give the confidence coach a shout out. I have great workshops in January. So give her a follow, Andrea BC Coach.
The lovely Lisa Settle has tweeted as well. Hello. Happy
good
New
afternoon.
Year to all on the Business Bunker show. And she says, it's good to have you back, Jules. Don't encourage her, Lisa.
She's only
here under tolerance at the moment.
It's lovely to be back, Lisa. Thank you. We were going to meet for a cup of tea, but she was in Whitstable. But I still had all my family. I was just cooking and doing all motherly things. I'm just looking at Andrea Barker's lovely egg she's put on Twitter as well. AndreaBarker.co.uk. Okay, so we've also, I saw butterflies, there you go. Hi Vanilla Web, Jules Serkin, Happy New Year. Please shout out for my event, the Networkers Networking Event. Butterflies
2019
and Dreams, is that SEP, sorry, EP.co.uk. Go on to that.
Yeah, her Twitter handle is Butterflies 2019.
It is.
Yeah.
You're right.
So you can follow her there.
You have a memory like an elephant.
Absolutely.
I've had a lovely email from ZC Social Media, that's Zoe there, using Facebook for business. So she's doing a workshop in January. It's the 26th. It's a Thursday. It's at the Medway Innovation Centre, 9:30 to 12:30. It's £97 per person. You can come along for a hands-on workshop, she says, and go away with a better understanding on how to use Facebook for your business. You can learn how to gain an organic reach without spending too much on advertising.
And a what?
An organic.
Oh, organic.
Yeah. I expect the Riverside Sisters would like that, wouldn't they?
Bit of organic.
Yeah. The Facebook algorithm. Do you know about that, Paul Andrews?
Oh, yeah.
How to produce engaging content for more reach. Generate leads and
more
inquiries. More reach.
Oh, more reach.
More reach.
Not Maureen. More reach.
Is he going to heckle for the whole of
this?
Yeah, he is, obviously is. You've got into very
I've woken
habits.
Up now.
How to produce engaging content for more reach, as I just said. Generate leads and inquiries from Facebook. New features of Facebook, including Facebook Marketplace, Facebook Live, and using Facebook groups effectively. And she says limited places are available. So that's Thursday, the 26th of July, Medway Innovation Centre, 9:30 to 12:30. And it's at £97 per person. She is also, Paul Andrews, running a Twitter for business. That's Friday the 17th of February. So that's one for your diary at the Medway Innovation Centre. Again, it's 9:30 to 12:30. Same price, £97 per person. And they're saying, join us for a step-by-step guide to your Twitter, the setup, and ready to leave with your marketing message becoming viral online. They will teach you to use Twitter properly and effectively, how to follow and build up your community within your target audience. Find out how to engage with your customers and convert these into leads and inquiries. Learn about the tools available to help your time management. Tweet your way to success and successfully use Twitter for your business. You can go on to zcsocialmedia.com to find out more.
Cool. Kent and Victor Chamber has sent us an email about their new business coffee hours.
They're taking
place from 10:30 until 12 noon, including coffee, tea and pastries. It's a membership cost of just £7 or a non-membership cost of £8.50. And they say, join us at our casual networking mornings where we'll be providing tea, coffee and pastries. And the next one is on the 12th of January at the Campanile in Dartford, then at the 26th of January on the Holiday Inn Rochester at Chatham. On the 9th of February, again, they're back at the Campanile in Dartford. And then on the 23rd of February, they're back at the Holiday Inn, Rochester. So if you want to find out about Invicta Chamber business coffee hours, go to their website, kentinvictachamber.co.uk, and book your place on their coffee networking.
George. Kent Construction Focus Group, that's the KCFG, have a full English breakfast at 7:30 a.m. to 9:30. On the 10th of January at the Mercure Hotel in Maidstone, and on the 7th of February also at the Mercure Hotel Maidstone. So KCFG members, it's £15 plus VAT. Non-members are £25 plus VAT. And this is for construction-based companies only. Join us for the Kent Construction Focus Group meeting, where future plans and development in Kent are discussed with businesses involved in the construction industry. So this is quite niche, isn't it? It sounds really good. So I'm reading out the dates again. They are the 10th of January at the Mercure Hotel and the 7th of February, same venue, 7:30 to 9:30. Now, do you know, Paul Andrews, who they would get in touch with for that?
Yeah, it's Kent Business Events. I think that's the Chamber of Commerce.
Okay, and we will put details up on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and you can find out and click on that.
Yeah, absolutely. The next Digital in Kent, Stay Ahead in the Digital World, the 8th in the highly successful series of conferences, Digital in Kent offers expert speakers, cutting-edge content and lively discussions. Avoid wasting time and money. Master social media and digital marketing with the experts. And the next one is taking place on Thursday, the 16th of March, at the Spitfire Ground, Canterbury. That's a county cricket ground in Canterbury on Thursday the 16th of March. To book your tickets for that event and any others, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and click on the business events tab, all of the events for the year are now listed there with links to book your tickets and place on any of those events, and also to find out more details. So do check that out.
You can apply to study with Goldman Sachs, 10,000 Goldman Sachs. Weren't you there once?
I used to work for Goldman
Sachs. Weren't you a T-boy there once?
I was indeed.
So 10,000 Small Businesses UK programme is designed to provide high-quality practical education and business support to leaders of high-growth small businesses and social enterprises across the country. It brings together leaders of small businesses from across industry sectors and creates unique networking and peer learning opportunities. The curriculum has been designed by world-class experts in entrepreneurial learning. You can apply for spring 2017 now. It's all open. So if you want to study for small business with Goldman Sachs, go to 3ws.10k. Got to get this right. Sorry, 10ksbapply.co.uk. So that's the number 10, KS for sugar, B for Bertie, apply.co.uk. And as always, details will go on to Kent Business Radio website.
Thank you for that. I think we'll have our mid-show break now, and we'll play a bit more tunage. You can talk into the mic and then we can hear you.
We should have something African, really.
No.
Forgotten all about my trip.
No, I've decided to pick this just because of what 2016 was like, and it's a bit of George Michael.
Oh, to be honest. That's a really good, poignant, but good.
So here we go.
Shall I guess? Where is George? He's
Come
coming.
On, George.
Any minute.
Why is that not playing?
Is it with Pepsi and Shirley? Give us a clue.
Hold on.
I hope you don't have to sing it.
Oh, blimey.
Honestly, you can't get the staff, Maureen.
We have a problem, Houston.
Shall I read something?
Yeah, can you?
Okay, so Maureen's just slipped something into my paw here. She says she's hosting, listener, a morning course at the Tour Spa, which is absolutely lovely in Ickham, on Wednesday the 25th of January. So it's coming up. It's called An Introduction to Finding Your Purpose in Life. It runs from 9:30 to 12:30. And again, you can go on to Maureen Dickey, DICKIE.com to find out more. But it is the 9:30 to 12:30 at the Tour Spa Retreat in Ickham on the 25th of January, which is a Wednesday. And it's an introduction to finding your purpose in life. Perhaps I should go and take Paul Andrews.
Keep
You're
going.
You're very welcome. Okay, so we also have, thank you, we'll put that in our diaries, Maureen. Share your industry and leadership know-how with the next generation. Business schools welcome industry expertise into their classrooms. The Bridge Programme prepares senior executives to teach in world-renowned business schools and make a successful transition from the boardroom to academia. You can find out more about this internationally recognised programme. It's run by Chartered Association of Business Schools and the AACSB. Go on to charteredabs.org /UK Bridge Programme 2017. I suggest you just click on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and find out more about that as well. Sounds very interesting.
Cool.
Women Work. Are you still fiddling with your knobs?
I am. I'm almost there. I'm almost there.
I'm not allowed to say that on the BBC, you know. Women Work, Friday the 10th of March. This is at the Assembly Halls Theatre in Tunbridge Wells. This is one not to miss. It's a full day of inspiration for women and the men who support them all over Kent. Don't talk about men. My new husband had stolen my car over Christmas. I got in this morning. He's changed all my radio plugins, changed the position of the wheel, the car, honestly. Do you want to play your tune?
I think we might be there now. Okay. Sorry, I had a bit of a technical problem there, but I think I've recovered. Let's have a go.
Let's see. George Michael. Oh, Careless Whisper.
Take
silver screen, and all its sadness.